Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Interior Paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Energy.
Okay. Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, your I Love Cherry Season. I am still in the midst of moving and it's the worst. My husband has a controversial take on rugs and it's making me upset, friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your iced tea drinking amateur cat grooming. I'm a hostage in my own house because Elliot the squirrel is fighting to get in, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
the history of the Coca-Cola card, Kathleen. So a couple of years ago now, I did the topic of movie promotional campaigns, the ones that were awesome, the ones that are bad.
Yeah.
And I recently found this really funny article that I will source in the show notes about a really awful Coca-Cola promotion that did not do well. And so Coke doubled down on it and made it even worse.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So we're going to talk about that. What about you, Kathleen?
I am talking about the weird and useful world of WikiHow.
WikiHow has taught me so many things.
Exactly.
I can't think what they are at this moment, but I feel like I really enjoy the illustrations because sometimes the thumbs are on the wrong side of the hands.
Yeah. I see ads for WikiHow illustrators all the time, and you don't have to be good, like even in the least.
Yeah, I do enjoy WikiHow. I think Yahoo Answers is now shut down, right? Is that no longer a thing?
I think so, yeah.
So now where are we supposed to get our dubious information?
My favorite thing about WikiHow is the title of the article sometimes is misleading on WikiHow. For example, there's an article that's how to simultaneously save your life and ruin your lunch, which is just a how-to on how to feed your lunch to wild animals in the forest should you find yourself in a dangerous situation.
I feel like that's not SEO optimized.
I know.
But I think when I did the topic again, very old topic of whether or not to tell your best friend you're in love with them.
Yeah.
WikiHow actually proved very useful in that, if I remember correctly, because there were some pretty good like points raised about, you know, will you be able to keep being this person's friend if you never get together? And that's a good thing to think about.
Well, that's my favorite thing about WikiHow is that it's either instructions on something really simple or instructions on something really complicated.
Yeah, because nowhere else on the internet is someone going to give you a step-by-step on how to decide whether or not you're going to tell your best friend you're in love with them.
So you and I have become plant people over the pandemic. I mean, you were a plant person before.
Yeah, it's good for my brain, whether they're fake or real. Like having them in my house is just really good for my brain.
There was this thing that came out on BuzzFeed News this weekend where this guy, he took all this video footage because a plant started growing out of his drain. Did you see this?
No, I didn't see this.
It was his bathroom sink. This little like sprout started coming up and he's like, what the hell? Turns out that he has this Lush massage bar that has azuki beans in it. and the azuki bean got caught in a clump of beard hair in his drain and was able to grow and grew out of the drain in his bathroom, despite him using Listerine, despite him using toothpaste. Like this little azuki bean plant was like, I am living. I am coming up to the surface.
Did he transplant it? Did he keep it alive?
He did, yeah, and it's thriving.
Nature finds a way, you know? Finds a way. If we learned anything from Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, we learned that. Speaking of amazing motion pictures, can we talk about Army of the Dead?
So you watched it this weekend.
I watched it this weekend. I loved it. It's so good. Have you seen it yet?
I haven't really had time to watch much of anything because...
Yeah, you've been moving.
I have so much shit. I am so mortified of all the stuff I have. Like, consumerism is real. And until you lay out everything you own in a room, not stuffed in a closet, you really don't realize how much you own.
Yeah, that's what Marie Kondo said to do, is like, take everything of a category and lay it out. So you are now in the new apartment.
Yeah, but I still...
New house.
Bethany, today's June 1st. I still don't have all of my stuff out of the old apartment. It's just...
How much do you have left?
At least like 4 carloads full of stuff. Anyway, I want to hear about this movie. Also, The Conjuring, the new Conjuring movie is out pretty soon, June 4th.
Is it? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's out on June 4th and you can watch it for free on HBO Max, I believe.
Amazing. Yeah, Army of the Dead is fantastic. I really enjoyed it, mostly because I don't really dig zombie movies all that much. They've never really been my jam.
Oh, I love zombie movies.
Well, then you'll like this because Zack Snyder takes like the old zombies that you recognize and then he added a new kind of zombie, which makes it an elevated experience. It makes it a little bit different. But the thing I really, really appreciated was that as soon as we finished watching the movie, we watched the making of it, which is like 30 minutes on Netflix. And I was so glad that when they were talking about all of the background actors who played zombies, they did not send them to zombie school. Because like on The Walking Dead, you always hear about, we sent them to zombie school.
Yeah.
And Zack Snyder was like, if you ask someone to do a zombie walk, they automatically have a zombie walk. You don't have to educate them on, and I don't think he was like trying to cast shade or anything.
Yeah.
But like, if Kathleen, if I told you to walk like a zombie right now, you would know, you would have an idea of what that looks like.
I would put my arms out in front of me and I would act like I was really dazed and I'd teeter-tottering.
Yeah. You'd sort of shamble. Yeah, exactly. And he said that like they would have occasionally have to point to someone and be like, no, don't do that. But by and large, everyone just knew how to do it.
Well, there are two types of zombies. There are the slow zombies, which are only really dangerous when you get a lot of them in one place because you can easily outrun or outdrive them. And then there are the freaking fast zombies that didn't really pop up until the 90s. And those kind of zombies are terrifying because they run like 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, those are like the rage virus zombies from 28 Days Later.
So what new zombie characteristic did Army of the Dead add to this this genre?
So this isn't a big spoiler because they're in the trailer. But there are the shambling zombies and then there are the alphas. And this is the new kind of genetic type of zombie. And they are very smart.
Yeah.
And like in the trailer, you see the woman in the showgirl costume and she's got like spiky epaulets on and a crown. Like she's one of the alphas. They're smart. They can...
Oh, it's like the queen bee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they can coordinate and they can communicate and they have like a system of society based on intimidation. And so it's frightening because they're like a real scary villain.
Yes. You know, I know I don't want to like movie shame anybody. I don't have any friends that love horror other than you, Bethany.
Really?
And I get so mad when I'm like, come on, girls, let's go see the new silent, what's the John Krasinski, Emily Blunt movie?
Oh, A Quiet Place?
Oh, A Quiet Place too. And my friends are like, I don't do well with scary. And I'm just like, grew a pair of balls.
See, Kathleen, this is why, like, this is, we're good for each other. Because I don't have a single friend who would go to a rom-com with me, including myself. But like, if I wanted to, I know you'd be the one to go with.
Speaking of rom-coms, Taste Bud Tara, who is, she is a flight attendant. We had her on the podcast last year.
Yeah.
She got, Bethany, I've never been so jealous of anybody in my whole life. She got engaged this weekend in Riverside Square Park because You've Got Mail is her favorite movie. And that's the scene when Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks realize that they've been chatting with each other online for months, falling in love with each other. And then they finally meet up and realize that it's each other.
You know what? She has a good partner because her partner realized that that was important. If Dennis proposed to me in Riverside Square Park, I'd have no idea what that reference was, and it would go right over my head. No, I wouldn't. Okay. But if he proposed to me on the top of some sort of like gothic building at night, I would know that he was referencing Underworld and the generations-long blood feud between the vampires and the Lycans.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I am all about aesthetic when I'm looking for new products. I like products that are going to look good in my home and not mess up that vibe that I have so highly curated. Do I sound like a snob?
No, I mean, you know, you've been working really hard on making your home a place that feels really good. And I want to know that the products I use in my home are ethically sourced and they're not a big drain on the planet.
Yeah.
And that's why, Kathleen, you and I love Public Goods.
Yes, because they search around the globe to find clean, healthy, eco-friendly, and innovative products. Personally, I love their cleaning spray because it's clear, and then there's this one little label that says cleaning spray, and it smells so good.
Public Goods is your one-stop shop for sustainable, high-quality, everyday essentials made from clean ingredients at an affordable price. They have everything from coffee to toilet paper and shampoo to pet food. It's your new everything store, and it's thoughtfully designed for you, a conscious consumer.
Ooh, I like this cutting board that's on their homepage.
My other favorite product they have is these chocolate-covered almonds. Kathleen, you and I both tried like one almond each because our partners took the rest.
Yeah.
Which is a testament to how delicious they are.
Yeah, I'm still mad about it.
And they plant one tree for every order placed, and they incorporate sustainability into every part of the company. So join hundreds of thousands of others who've switched to their new everything store.
And we worked out an awesome deal just for our listeners. Receive $15 off your first order at Public Goods with no minimum purchase. That's right. They are so confident that you're absolutely going to love their products and come back again and again that they are giving you $15 to spend on your first purchase.
Plus, right now, receive your choice of either a free pack of bamboo straws or reusable food storage wraps with your order. You have nothing to lose. Just go to publicgoods.com/taste or use the code taste at checkout.
That's Public Goods, publicgoods.com/taste to receive $15 off of your first order.
Kathleen, I love a failed promotional attempt because I love a big swing. Even if you miss, I respect a big swing.
Well, you never grow unless you fail. You can't learn from your success, can you?
You can never learn when you're successful. You can only learn when you're a failure.
Exactly.
So let's set the stage. Uh-huh. First of all, I got most of this information is from this really funny article on Cracked, because I love Cracked. An article by Greg Ott, The Five Realities of the Coca-Cola Card, or the Most Confusing Marketing Campaign in History. I'll link it in show notes. It's a great article. They do a great video to go with it. So here we go.
Okay.
Okay, so let's set the stage a little bit. Throughout the 80s, Pepsi and Coke were engaged in what was known as the Cola Wars.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, just trying to figure out who was the better Coke soda product with, you know, the most following.
You know, the thing that really bugs me is that Dr. Pepper was created before any of these, and that is the true star of the soda world.
I know, but like it doesn't really taste as great as cola.
Okay.
I don't like the spice.
I'll give
it
to you.
It's too spicy, as my niece says. So in October of 1996, Coke had apparently won the Cola Wars.
Okay.
Pepsi, basically, their profits were behind Coke's by 47%. So they got their ass handed to them in the Cola Wars.
Yeah.
That's why this next thing is so weird. It's basically like Coke stopped trying, or Coke overthought it and tried too hard.
Too hard.
And it got real convoluted because in 1998, Coke launched a $75 million marketing campaign,
oh my
which
God.
Was the Coca-Cola card.
$75 million on this failed campaign?
It's a big swing. It's a big swing. According to Cracked, according to the article, this was one part plastic coupon, one part loyalty program, and one part baffling and logistically complex marketing campaign.
Oh my God. I hate marketing campaigns where you have to collect things.
Kathleen, you're going to hate this.
I hate it. Like the McDonald's thing that people always do, the Monopoly McDonald's. Oh my God, who has time for that?
A lot of people love it. They do it all the time. Oh. Did you see the McMillions documentary?
I did, yes. And I know so people love it, and then they scam the whole system, but still.
Yeah, people loved it. Okay, so this is why Coca-Cola felt like they had to do this big swing. Pepsi had been doing Pepsi points, which was a giant success. So a couple of years earlier, when you bought Pepsi products, you would get points, and then you could exchange these points for cool things like a Twism jacket.
What?
Which was a jacket from Twism. Or a baseball cap that had Pepsi on it, or a canvas duffel bag made to look like a giant Pepsi can.
Oh, that's kind of cool, though.
Yeah. No, it was okay. And, like, you knew what things you could buy because there was a Pepsi stuff catalog, and you can still get one on eBay for the buy it now price of $17.50.
Oh,
the cover has Shaquille O'Neal, a very photoshopped Jeff Gordon, a man I don't know with soccer ball, and a woman I don't know with ski goggles.
Oh, okay.
People friggin' loved it. They actually had a funny commercial where they claimed as a joke that you could get a Pepsi Harrier fighter jet, like a fixed-wing combat aircraft for 7 million points. And someone actually tried to get it, and then the judge had to rule that it was like a joke, and they couldn't actually buy an aircraft.
That's bullshit. You know, these campaigns where you have to buy a product to win something or get something else, it's like when you go to the arcade and you spend $30 on the skee ball machine and you take your tickets up to the counter and they're like, here's an assortment of erasers shaped like fruits.
I love the fruit erasers. Don't you besmirch those fruit erasers.
They never really do anything. They don't really erase properly. No. Let's be real about it.
And the top of the apple always snapped off when you tried to. But it's the same thing, Kathleen, as we were talking about a couple weeks ago, like the Sephora VIB program where you spend $100 and you get like a tiny tube of mascara. But because of this giant Pepsi swing and win, Coca-Cola was like, we have to do this. So
okay.
They created the Coca-Cola card. It's exactly what you would think a Coca-Cola card would be. It's just a looks like a credit card. It's red.
Yeah.
And it had a ton of rules attached to it.
Oh,
and
God.
The goal was to really just get teenagers and people in their early 20s to become addicted to Coca-Cola so that they will buy it for the rest of their lives. So they were giving these away in high schools. They were mailing them randomly to teenagers. They handed them out at pizza places, spring break hotspots. They had 55 million of these cards that they were giving away. But here's the problem, Kathleen. This was pre-internet, pre-widespread internet.
Okay.
These cards were based on the stores and businesses where you lived.
Huh.
And so they were all different.
Oh.
They were all based on the different soda bottling territories across the U.S. And there were 280 different versions of them. And so the card, Kathleen, that you got living in New Jersey would be very different from the card that I would have gotten living in Wisconsin. Because you don't have a Red Wing shoes by you, but I do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it was a localized prize system.
Yes. So because there's no website specifically for you to go to find out what your card is good for.
Okay.
You were given what teenagers love. A cardboard sleeve that your card fits in that accordions out into a super long multiple page accordion of all of the different businesses and the rules for your card.
Too complicated and also a waste of paper.
Kathleen, it gets so much better.
Oh, God.
Here's how you work it. Wait, how do you think this works? Let's say you want to get something.
Yeah.
How would you go about getting something?
So let me ask you a question first.
Sure.
Every time you bought Coke, was it scanned? And then that's how you won things?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Unclear.
Yeah. How do you even win points?
Okay. Great question. Okay. So you would buy a Coke.
Yes.
Then you would go to the cashier and you would show them, hey, I am a part of the Coca-Cola card club. And then in theory, the cashier would be like, cool. And they would give you something or some like buy one, get one, or 50% off something or whatever.
I see. So you weren't scanning the card. It was just if you bought a Coca-Cola at, I don't know, your local bodega.
Yeah.
And you showed the card, your local bodega was obligated to give you, I don't know, like a free cup or something.
Right.
Got it.
Now, Kathleen, now imagine you're Kathleen's local bodega.
Yeah.
What would the bodega worker do if you showed them a random plastic card?
Probably because the memo is never sent out to all employees. They would be like, huh? What?
Bingo.
This is fake.
You have just hit on the very problem with this campaign. A huge part of it was embarrassment because you, as like a 16-year-old trying to look cool, would bring your Coke card and the cashier would be like, I don't know what the hell this is. I don't, none of this, this doesn't make any sense to me. Sorry. And the other issue is that so many of these offers were not great. They were like half price, you know, Twizzlers or whatever.
Yeah.
So crack.com went into some of the actual offers.
Oh, yes.
At a Volga gas stop in South Dakota, a cardholder who purchased a 20-ounce Coke was entitled to a quarter-pound Jimmy Dean hot dog for just 49 cents.
Which is, that's not bad.
That's great.
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania, there was an AMC theater that gave away a free small bag of popcorn with the purchase of a fountain soda.
Oh.
Great.
Yeah.
I'll take that. The worst one, which is my favorite one, New Jersey's Tanger Outlet Center.
I know where that is.
Okay. Kathleen, if you wanted a prize, uh-huh, you would have to, quote, present both the Coke card and a Coke bottle cap, what, to an official at the Tanger Mall office, uh-huh, in order to obtain a free coupon book. So you would have to go to the office of the mall and they would just give you a coupon book. So you would get coupons for using a coupon.
Some people are really dedicated to coupons like that.
I mean, coupons are great, but like when you're 16, cutting coupons isn't like, yeah, you know, your wet dream.
See, okay. I feel very much about this promotion like I do buying furniture on Craigslist.
Which is how?
At some point, lugging it out of someone else's house or apartment and then lugging it into mine is not worth the money I'm going to save by just ordering something freaking, yeah, new online. Yeah.
I think at some point your time becomes valuable.
Yeah.
But when you're young, I don't think that's always the case. However, yeah, when you're young, your embarrassment or not getting embarrassed is really valuable. And I think, yes, that's a huge reason why this failed.
Yes.
So, Kathleen, what do you do when you're a giant company and you see that you've made a huge mistake? What do?
You write an apology letter on Instagram. You give everyone who has a card $10 worth of free Coke and you call it a day.
Wrong. You are wrong. Kathleen,
oh, no.
You never admit your mistake and instead you double down.
Oh, no.
So after the failure of the 1998 Coke card, in 1999, Coke came out with a new marketing campaign that was even harder to understand.
Oh, no.
Called the acronym Itty Kittig.
No.
And that stood for, if you don't know, you don't go.
What? What does that even mean? What, that has nothing to do with a soft drink.
That's a great question, Kathleen.
Yeah.
No one understood it. Coke assumed that teens are super bored and they also love feeling special, which is,
yeah,
which is true.
That's why I think I really relate to teen content because it makes, sure, me feel special.
Of course. Everyone loves to feel special. So in theory, Itty Kittig, if you don't know, you don't go, mm-hmm, would give Coke card owners the chance to attend these really exclusive events.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it's really such a cool idea. Some of them were like secret concerts featuring like Everclear and Smash Mouth.
Classic bands.
The only price was a can of Coke.
Yeah. You know what? That is a pretty good deal.
Yes.
This is 1998, you said?
1999.
Okay.
Okay.
So the information should be available at that point.
Okay, Kathleen. They made it so hard.
Oh, no.
Here's how it worked. Kathleen, let's say that you want to, you gentle listener, want to find out how to get involved in this and get to a secret concert because you really love Everclear.
Smash Mouth. I actually do love Smash Mouth.
Great. Walking on the Sun. Saw them perform once. They were great.
Yeah.
You have to call 1-800-595-4999. Okay.
Huh?
1-800-595-4999.
All right.
That phone number lets you set up your own Coke voicemail.
Huh.
Now, your Coke card number is also your Coke voicemail number. Now, do you want to check your voicemail? Well, you need to buy a Coke first because you can only access this voicemail box that you've already set up by typing in an 11-digit access code that you'd find on your Coke product's bottle cap. But each access code was good for 5 sent or received voicemails. And about a month before a secret event, Coke will fill these voicemail boxes with the details. So you have to check your voicemail box every day with an 11-digit code from the bottom of your Coke can to see if there's anything new going on, which means that you have to buy more Cokes.
No, no, no. All of this is too much work. I am lazy and I'm not going to work for it. I'm just not.
But I thought that was super clear. Kathleen, guess how many people came to these secret concerts?
I don't know. 100.
No one. No one could find them because teens aren't going to type in 11-digit codes to check a super secret voicemail every day just on the off chance that Coke left a voicemail in there saying there was a secret concert.
Oh my freaking Lord.
Secret events are super fun, but they're not fun if it's so secret that no one knows where it is and you're stuck all alone at an empty event with a very angry Smash Mouth.
Imagine being Smash Mouth or Everclear. Like, at the time, you're a very big band. You're a headliner band. And this huge company is like, hey, will you give us a secret concert? Like, all these teens are going to go. And you show up to the venue and it's empty. And you're like, what the fuck, Coca-Cola? Like,
empty.
We have a number one hit on the radio right now. How dare you?
Promoters were literally standing on the street and begging people walking by to please come into this free concert. No one knew where they were.
See, promoters are always sketchy to me because I think that it's just like a trick to lure me into a dark basement and murder me.
Well, and there's no way of knowing until it's too late if that's the case or not. That's why you never go into those free comedy shows in Times Square, because I don't know what those people are doing.
You took the words out of my mouth because the promoters in Times Square are like, hey, hey, you like to laugh?
You guys
want to laugh today?
You love comedy? You love comedy? So after 2 years, Coke pulled the plug on the Coke card project.
Well, good.
And now that phone number, 1-800-595-4999, belongs to some company called, I think, Grocery Deals. Or at least that's what the operator who answered the phone after I called it yesterday morning and was on hold for 20 minutes told me. He also seemed very disappointed that the number used to belong to Coke and that he wasn't part of the Coke
family
era of that phone number. By the way, Kathleen, the Itty Kittig website did exist. You just couldn't use it to find the information about the concerts. You still had to set up the voicemail. But the woman who designed the website, Amy Elkin, has it archived on her own website. So I'm going to link it in the show notes. It is so delightfully late 90s. Do you remember Pepper Ann, the cartoon Pepper Ann?
Pepper Ann, Pepper Ann. She's too cool for seventh grade. Pepper Ann, she's like one in a million.
Yeah. So it looks like a combination between graffiti and that style of animation drawing. And it's like a black background, but it's got this really, it's like everyone in the 90s was jaded, like really jaded. Mm-hmm. And so the copy starts out sounding like a jaded teen, but then gets really unsettling as it scrolls across the top of the screen and it gets more and more like a mind-numbing corporate drone.
Wait, it had a JavaScript feature where it's like the text scrolled horizontally?
Nope. You had to scroll to the right to see what the caption kept saying.
Oh,
it's weird.
As a web designer, I remember that being a really hot feature in the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, that was considered really avant-garde if you had a website that was able to do that.
Here's what it said. Tired of watching talk shows about lunch ladies and the meat they love?
No.
Grab a Coke card, use its voicemail to connect with friends, then go out and rake in a few deals. Drink a Coke. Hit the lanes. Check your voicemail. Drink a Coke. Eat a pizza. Leave a voicemail. Drink a Coke. Hop a coaster. Wish you'd never eaten pizza. It's an endless cycle. So get out of the tube and into the know.
No, 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 no. Bethany.
Kathleen, that is the Coke card.
Imagine this promotion during the pandemic. Wake up, open your laptop, pretend like you're going to class, drink a Coke, walk to the refrigerator, get a snack, be yelled at by your mom, drink a Coke, have no energy to do anything because it's a pandemic and people are dying and you don't want to catch the virus. Drink a Coke.
I'm just scrolling to the right of the screen, getting more and more depressed. And at the end, it's just a picture of someone crying in the shower.
You know, in the age of Instagram, a promotion like this might work.
Abso-freaking-lutely. They were actually kind of ahead of their time when it comes to, like, if you don't know, you don't go. But but the coat card is just...
But, you know, people are so smart nowadays. Teens are so smart. They would definitely learn how to scam the system. Coca-Cola, let's not call this a fail for the Coca-Cola company. Let's call it ahead of their time. They were in the future. The future, the technology just hadn't caught up with their promotion.
You know what? I'm going to buy a Coke card on eBay and bring it to my local bodega and see what happens.
They're going to look at you like you're dumb.
I mean, they do already. So, like, what am I going to do? Kathleen, we have all spent over a year being physically comfortable.
Yes.
I haven't worn high heels in forever.
Oh, girlfriend, you know, you're reading my mind because I've been moving this whole weekend and I packed up all these heels while I was wearing my Rothy's. I'm like, I'm going to sell these on Poshmark. I have no reason not to wear my Rothy's every single day.
Yeah, no one has time for uncomfortable shoes anymore. And that's where Rothy's comes in. Kathleen and I both love our Rothy's. I have their loafers in the color mocha. They match everything. Kathleen has like 17 pairs.
My favorites right now are the slip-on sneakers in the sand color. They go with everything.
And Pop Sugar named Rothy's one of the most comfortable and cute flats you'll never tire of wearing. These are the shoes that we've been talking about forever. They're made of recycled water bottles and they turn the water bottles into like this incredibly soft thread. They sew the shoes in one piece so there's no uncomfortable seams that you have to like break in.
And I have the worst feet in the world. Literally everything gives me a blister. I've never gotten a blister from my Rothy's, and there are days when I wear them for 20 straight hours. So upgrade your closet with washable. Oh yeah, we forgot to say they're totally machine washable.
Yeah.
Sustainable, stylish shoes and bags from Rothy's. Plus, they just launched men's shoes, so make sure you check them out for the guy humans in your life.
Head to rothys.com/taste to find your new favorites today. That's rothys.com/taste.
Hi, gentle listeners. We're here to talk about our favorite pants, Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants.
Kathleen's been wearing the same pair of Beta Brand dress pant yoga pants for what, 3 days now since you've been moving?
Yeah, and today will be day number four because they're so stretchy and they're so comfortable, but also they're presentable. And I just tuned into, they have this like live stream on the homepage. And Bethany, they are selling a pair of wide leg. They're called the Hollywood wide leg pants. That would look so amazing on you. I like almost want to buy this pair for you.
You know I love a wide leg pant. Look, as we're heading back into the real world, you have to look professional for work, but who has time to feel uncomfortable? I hate that feeling of wearing professional dress pants. And then by the end of the day, they're digging into you. You're so uncomfortable. For some reason, the rise isn't tall enough. And so everything's digging in and pulling up.
Yep.
No more. Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants are as comfortable as yoga pants, but as professional as dress pants.
The other day, my friend Stephanie was like, listen, my husband heard the commercial that you guys are doing about Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants. And now he wants a pair and he's devastated that they don't sell men's pants.
Tell him to just get some of their new joggers. They have a restorative collection with versatile pieces designed for living and working in. And I'm sure he can pull off wearing a jogger.
I'm sure he could too.
Plus, they launch new styles weekly, clearly, because now they have the Hollywood wide leg pants. So, you know, you just have to keep checking back.
My favorite pair that I own is the Journey pant because there are all these secret hidden pockets that I can put my treasures in.
Yeah, you can put your secrets in there. So right now, our listeners can get 30% off of your first Beta Brand order when you go to betabrand.com/taste.
That's 30% off of your first order for a limited time at betabrand.com/taste.
Discover what it's like to be comfortable and confident all the time. Go to betabrand.com/taste for 30% off.
One of the best parts of the internet is the ability to look up literally how to do anything.
It's so useful. I've watched people get themselves out of really big pickles because they thought to just go to YouTube and be like, how do I install a TV?
Yeah.
And then it tells them.
And then you do it. The other day I was watching this girl install a new bathroom tile floor and I was like, there's no reason why I can't do that either.
I fixed, you know, the foot pedals on lamps?
Yeah.
They have those nice like foot pedals. Mine stopped working. And so I bought a new foot pedal and then I learned how to install it myself and I fixed the foot pedal.
Whether it is something as complicated as a foot pedal or as simple as how to make a grilled cheese sandwich. That is the beauty of the freaking internet.
Yeah, it's pretty great. When you, you know, I mean, like, there's some downsides to it, but like the best sides are like the cat videos and the how-tos.
So that is why I'm a huge fan of WikiHow, because it always comes up. It's always like the first or second result when you're Googling how to do anything.
Yeah, their SEO is really good, like disproportionately good.
And my favorite thing is that anyone can add anything to WikiHow. And so you get stuff like how to survive a stroke while you're in a mosh pit, or or how to connect with your stepdad. It's
like, oh, wow. There's a couple of real deep stories behind those WikiHows.
So I pulled up some of my favorites. Some of them are really strange. Some of them are surprisingly simple, but there is something that we can all learn today via WikiHow.
Great. I love walking away with a lesson.
Number one, if you ever find yourself in a situation where you think you might be swimming with piranhas, here's how to safely do that.
Okay. I would first ask why,
yeah,
and how did, you know, maybe someone, you should have done a little more research into where you were swimming, but great, here we are.
Sometimes you just need to cool down and you never know what lurks in the water.
It's true. If we learned anything from a couple weeks ago, you do never know what lurks in the water.
So maybe you're in South America and maybe you're in fresh water,
mm-hmm,
and maybe that body of fresh water is still or a slow moving stream or lake, right?
Okay. Yeah, sure. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And maybe even though it says don't swim in this water, mm-hmm, maybe you do anyway.
Sure. Because rules don't apply to me, mm-hmm, and I am superhuman.
That's how I got leptospirosis in Hawaii when I swam in a body of water that said danger, don't swim. And I was like, fuck it.
What is leptospirosis and why did you swim despite the fact that you shouldn't?
I got very sick and I had a cut on my leg and that's how it got into my body.
Kathleen. That's how you can get necrotizing fasciitis.
YOLO, girlfriend, YOLO.
Oh,
anyway,
my God.
I'm here to tell you that piranhas are usually mild-mannered and they're skittish.
Oh, okay.
Which you wouldn't know from watching the horror film Piranha, but whatever.
That piranha is anything but skittish.
Piranhas aren't likely to attack you unless they're very hungry.
Is there a way to know if they're very hungry?
They're usually hungry from April to September.
Just like me.
So avoid swimming in piranha-laced waters from April to September.
Okay.
And also, you want to wait until nighttime if you have to swim in piranha waters in between the months of April and September. Because if you venture into the water in the daytime, they're going to get you.
Okay.
Because piranhas hunt in the day and they sleep at night, just like humans.
Just like us.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear that bird?
No. Oh, I do. Oh, my God. Is there a bald eagle outside your window?
Am I in the tropics all of a sudden? I didn't give consent.
Mother Nature knows we're talking about piranhas.
Shut up, bird. We're doing a podcast. Oh, it worked. Okay, continue.
Piranhas, if you wake them up while they're slumbering, they're just going to flee. You know, they're not going to attack you.
Okay.
Which makes me think about humans. Like, I guess there are two types of humans. If you are awakened from a deep slumber, you're either going to immediately attack blindly if you're a human, mm-hmm, or you're going to like cower and get under the covers and hide in the corner. What kind of human are you think?
Oh, that's a good question. Mm. I think I'm going to attack. Well, it's going to take me, here's the thing, it's going to take me so long to wake up. If you wake me up out of a slumber about 2 hours later, I will attack.
That's not called an attack, Bethany. That's called a slow death.
What about you? I think that you're probably the attack kind.
Yeah, I think I'm the attack. I scream and then I think, yeah, I would attack because I'm prepared. I always keep knives next to the bed.
Same. Knives on knives.
Anyway, back to piranhas. If you have a cut or you're bleeding, stay out of piranha water. They're going to smell you right away.
They smell blood, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
And avoid making a fuss because recent studies suggest that desperate piranhas are attracted to activity more so than they are even attracted to blood. So just swim slowly. Don't talk. Don't use any flashing lights. Nothing.
So, okay. So like if you're bleeding, if you're hemorrhaging blood, Just be real relaxed about it.
Exactly.
And take off your strobe lights.
Maybe create a diversion. Have your friend who's like a little bit of a distance away from you, tell them to splash. So the piranhas will leave your bloody area and go swim by your friend.
Because who needs that friend anyway?
And that is it. That's how you survive a piranha attack.
Is this what WikiHow actually said, is to have your friend make a diversion?
It says create a diversion. Then it has an illustration of somebody holding up a stake. But who's just carrying a steak with them while they're swimming in South America? Not me.
Look, I don't know what you do with your free time. Some people carry around steaks.
Unless that steak is covered in chimichurri, in which case I'm eating it and then I'm getting eaten by piranhas, because chimichurri sauce is delicious.
I feel like if you find yourself in a situation where there are piranhas around, you really just should turn around. I say don't try.
Okay, let's go to something more simple.
Okay.
How to use a face serum.
Great. Does it tell you? Oh, I have so many thoughts on this. Okay, continue.
I mean, I am always confused as to how I should layer my moisturizer in my serum and like nighttime serum versus daytime serum. Anyway, the first step is to pick a serum. Like, do you use a serum every day?
I do. I use so many serums every single day. I love a serum.
Do you know, there's a serum that I'm trying to use up and I don't want to toss it. So I always put it on before I work out, because they say if you clean your face and put on a serum before you do any sort of physical activity, the heat from your body helps that serum soak more deeply into your skin.
Oh, that makes sense. Sure. Hell yeah. What I do know is that you're not supposed to drip it from the pipette directly onto your face like they do on Instagram all the time or on TikTok, because it gets the pipette so dirty with your face gunk, and then you put it back into the bottle and don't drip it onto your face dramatically.
That's like when I'm at a restaurant and they pour you water. I always look to see if the waiter is touching the jug with the water in it to your glass. Because you're not supposed to touch the glass. That is a way that diseases spread, as I learned from Dr. Oswens.
Never even thought about that.
And sometimes they do. Oh. And I'm like, can I drink this water? Am I safe?
Yeah, you probably are, but maybe you're probably not. I'm of two minds.
So WikiHow says, choose a serum. You know, if you have problem areas, nourish your dry skin. If you want to fade sunspots, there are all different types of serums for that. My favorite serum lately is rosehip oil. Have you heard about rosehip oil?
I know of it. I don't know what it does.
So that brand, The Ordinary from Sephora, like the very affordable skincare brand, they have a great rosehip oil, and it's like anti-aging. It has all these great antioxidants. It hydrates your skin. It's amazing.
What are rose hips?
I imagine it's a girl named Rose with great hips.
Oh, I just assumed it was like the part of the rose that the rose was insecure about. It's like the
So rose hips are an actual plant.
Oh, it's not a part of a rose?
No, it's not a part of a rose. Yeah. Oh. It's like it looks like a little berry type thing. Looks like the Cute. Type of berry that you should not eat should you see it in the forest.
Yeah. If it's pretty, usually that means don't eat it.
Okay. Back to how to use a face serum.
Okay.
If you're using hyaluronic acid, put it on before you use an oil-based serum.
Okay.
Because you trap it in. It's all about trapping in the moisture.
You want to go light to heavy is what I've always heard. Like a light serum, or a light of whatever down to like your heaviest whatever, because the new thing traps the previous thing.
So it says, get your serum, put it on your fingertips, tap, tap, tap into your skin, tap, 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 massage it into your skin. Let it dry, and then move on to your next product. And that is how WikiHow says you should use a serum.
I agree with WikiHow. Yeah. That sounds right. That sounds good.
You need to put 3 to 5 drops in your hand to warm it up before you put it on your face. And then after you put on your serum, then you moisturize.
And then I lately, Kathleen, have been slugging. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's when you put on – I just do it under my eyes because my skin breaks out otherwise. But I'll put on like my under eye cream and my moisturizer and everything. And then before bed, right after I do that, when it's still kind of wet, I put like petroleum jelly under my eyes to seal in the moisture of the moisturizer and the eye cream.
Yes. Sealing in is a big deal. Some people put Aquaphor all over their face to seal in their products while they're sleeping at night.
Yeah. Makes your face real sticky on your pillowcase and makes me break out. But if you don't break out, it's great.
It's all about repairing that natural moisture barrier.
Yeah, you gotta have that barrier.
Okay. All right, let's move on. What else should we learn on WikiHow today? Let's learn how to trick people into thinking that you're possessed.
Oh, fun. Yes. I like this one. Let's go for it.
Whether you want to learn how to pretend to be possessed as a part of a Halloween costume or you want to play a disturbing prank on your friends and family, here's how you can learn to easily act the part by following a few behaviors and personality guidelines.
Great.
By the way, this article has 200,000 views.
You'd think we would be hearing more about people playing pranks on their family and friends by being possessed than we are.
So change your personality. Suddenly become withdrawn, quiet, and defensive. One of the most telltale signs of demonic possession is a sudden change in personality, as we all know.
It's just being kind of bitchy.
Yeah.
How'd you know she was possessed? She just kind of got a little bitchy.
Bitchy, you know? She just was like, ew.
Call the Vatican.
Number two, show a lack of interest in your hobbies.
This also just sounds like depression.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Keep going. I'm hoping that you start rattling off names in Latin.
Number three, develop sudden and violent verbal outbursts.
Okay, oh this God. Is where it gets fun. Yeah. This is why people used to pretend to be possessed, because you get to like say things you didn't get to say as a lady.
And the illustration is just a guy absolutely screaming his head off, and there's a girl next to him, and she's covering her ears, and she's like, no. It says, look disoriented and confused after the sudden outburst. It should be almost over as quickly as it began, leaving everyone around you feeling jolted and confused.
Yes, keep them off balance.
Project your voice loudly, give it a sharp edge, speak more quickly than you normally do, and twitch a little bit.
This is really good information. Okay, what's the next one?
Keep a blank and exhausted look on your face.
Done.
Walk around in a state of confusion, almost like you're sleepwalking. Yep,
This goes back to the zombie walk. I think everyone kind of has an idea of how to do that already.
Yeah. Don't overdo it, because you don't want to be too dramatic or it won't be believable.
Right. You have to build up to it.
Yeah. Step number five, leave incriminating books and images lying around.
Like what?
Books about the occult and drawings of strange symbols. Leave them in places where people might see them. What's that witch's star with a circle called again?
Pentagram?
Yeah. Like draw a pentagram on a piece of paper and just draw it over and over and over again so it looks like it's been drawn like 100 times.
Till it rips the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Next step, do unnerving things in public. Like sit in a chair facing the corner and laugh hysterically.
This all kind of sounds like a lot of fun / things I'm already doing.
And then the final step is to apply a very pale concealer to your face, neck, and lips to look really demonic.
Yeah. Do they say at any point, like, is there any point where they say, like, really bring it to a fever pitch and start claiming that you are being possessed by Legion?
You know, WikiHow didn't get that in depth into the process, but I imagine that that might aid in tricking other people into thinking you're possessed.
I mean, if you're going to go through the whole process of, you know, not liking your hobbies anymore and being withdrawn, if you're normally really bubbly, you have to make it worth something. You have to bring it up to that the final performance where you really get to be like,
you know, this might come in handy if you're ever accused of a really heinous crime and you want to get out of it on an insanity plea.
It's hard to get off on an insanity plea.
Well, not according to Wikipedia, WikiHow.
The lawyer, WikiHow, says that it's going to be a breeze.
Okay, Bethany, let's see. What would you like to learn today? Would you like to learn how to taste wine?
Sure. I feel like I know. It's like 4 steps, right?
I always feel like such a fake when they pour a little bit of wine into your glass and you're like, you swirl it around. And you're like, oh, okay, I guess this is okay.
This will do nicely.
Fill the glass, hold it by the stem. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, Bethany, I didn't know this. A lot of wines, you see people like holding the bottom of the glass with the stem coming out through the bottom of their fingers.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to touch the glass where the wine is because it heats up the wine.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You got to hold it by the stem, put it in the glass, swirl it around. Okay. Now here's where WikiHow comes in handy. Sniff the opening of the wine bottle and then sniff the wine that's in your glass. So your palate can see the difference between pre-aeration and post-aeration.
Oh, that's something I've not heard before.
Sometimes you can tell if a wine smells like nail polish remover, it is way too acidic and you shouldn't drink it.
Okay, that's good.
Then you're going to tip the glass and look at the color of the wine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's red.
red wines are going to have a little bit of natural sediment at the bottom. That doesn't mean your wine is bad. That means your wine is probably expensive.
Oh, do I drink the sediment or do I try to leave the sediment sedimenting at the bottom?
That's a good question. Sometimes in those situations, I just drink it because I don't want to like look like I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, fair. I once ate the crust of brie cheese for that very same reason.
You're allowed to eat the crust of brie cheese.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
I don't like it. But you're allowed to eat it.
Okay, cool. Because I didn't know. So I just ate it. It's like in the movie Spy where Melissa McCarthy eats a towel. Because she thinks it's food.
It's just or like your party trick when you eat pistachios whole, including the shell.
Yeah, my dentist told me I'm not allowed to do that anymore because it was cracking my teeth.
Whomever is in charge of your colon should also tell you not to do that anymore too. Okay, lightly swirl the glass. Watch to see if the wine sticks to the glass. You want to check for viscosity. I don't know if viscosity is good or bad. I think you want less amount of viscosity because that means there's less sugars. It's a more pure wine.
Oh, great.
Okay?
Okay.
Take a sip of the wine and don't swallow. Let it linger in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And that is how you know that you are a true wine drinking expert according to Wikipedia.
Great.
Or WikiHow.
Thank you, WikiHow.
Yeah.
I think, you know, what they leave out is if you taste vinegar and you're like, I don't care at this point, and then you chug it. At least you know the difference.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're not going to drink it.
What was the last thing you looked up how to do on the internet?
Oh gosh. I think, oh man, I don't know if I even remember. Oh, I think it was how to get rid of squirrels. That's what it was. It was how to humanely deter squirrels from trying to get into your house.
What was the answer?
Essential oils. Mm. They don't like peppermint or anything spicy, which is tough because I have cats. And so it's like you don't want to get the oils on the cats, but you also want the squirrel to stay away. Mm-hmm. That was really the only thing they had besides like kill it.
Cotton balls soaked in peppermint oil.
Yeah, that might be what I end up having to do.
Okay. So this next one, Bethany, this is for you because it is something I'm going to learn to do to be a better friend to you.
Oh, what's that?
How to appreciate death metal. Because I don't appreciate it right now. It just sounds like guys screaming and creating random noises.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
yeah.
Or girls, you know, guys or girls.
Sure.
All right, if I want to learn to appreciate death metal, I'm going to listen to it, but I'm going to listen closely to the tearing guitars and the unusual voices.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And I'm going to try and appreciate their beauty, okay? Because there are melodies and patterns and complexities to death metal, even though it just sounds like idiotic noise to the average listener.
That does feel – okay, so that does feel inherently judgmental as a statement. So I'm gonna challenge you to rephrase that.
Yeah. Well, I already did. I totally rephrased the WikiHow sentence to fit my own opinions. So.
Okay, fair. Okay.
Then it suggests that maybe I should watch a death metal performance on YouTube to observe how group members manipulate the instruments and interact with one another.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and you get to see up close the energy and the musicianship that really does go into it.
Yes. And then WikiHow suggests that I take a mental note that unlike many other genres, almost every death metal band writes their own music, including riffs, drums, solos, and lyrics.
Ah, mm-hmm. Great to know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
And then WikiHow suggests that I don't take the context and the subject matter of death metal songs and lyrics too personally.
Right. And yeah. And, not, you know, some of them are being like over the top on purpose and sort of making fun of the fear of death metal. And I would also add to that, listen to the drummer.
Oh.
Drummers in like hardcore metal bands. And I know very little about any sort of metal. So I'm sorry. But like the drummers are insanely talented. It's like. And it's nonstop. And it's like, how do you drum that fast?
It sounds like they're the most important person in the band.
I mean, I wouldn't say that to anybody else in the band, but I kind of feel like that.
And apparently there are so many subgenres of death metal to get into that by the time I'm done learning about death metal, I'm going to be the biggest fan.
Yeah, there's a lot to know.
There are symphonic.
Symphonic, I think.
Yeah. There is, let's see, death and doom death metal. That's already in the name. Okay. There is brutal death metal. There's blackened death metal. There is death grind death metal. Okay, this all sounds like the same. These sound like synonyms.
It's leaky bladder death metal. Tar-like stool death metal.
Okay. Today, the last lesson I will provide you with on WikiHow is how to survive an encounter with an ostrich.
Kathleen,
yes.
Thank you, because they're dinosaurs. They're like a combination of dinosaurs and cobras, the way their head and neck move.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, so if a human was that bottom heavy, you would just tip over. Okay. Ostriches can be found in the wild on safaris or on ostrich farms. But regardless of where you find them, treat them with the utmost caution.
Okay.
Although they do not prey on humans, they have been known to injure and kill humans when provoked.
Jeez, I didn't know they killed humans.
They are extremely fast. Do you know how fast an ostrich can run?
No. Should I?
Yes. If you ever want to save your life in the case of an ostrich attack, you should. They can run 43 miles an hour.
And it's so weird because they don't have arms. It's so weird to watch them run because their legs are so muscular and like their thighs are jacked, but they don't have any arms.
No arms.
So weird.
They're like the fast zombie version of the bird world.
Oh, my friend John, his number one fear is sharks with legs. And I feel like the legs he's imagining are like ostrich legs, but on a shark body. And it's horrifying because jacked.
Think about an ostrich that suddenly has arms. Oh my God.
He'd just punch you in the face over and over.
Or strangle you because they'd want your neck to resemble a neck like theirs.
Ugh.
Okay. Anyway, you got to run for cover. If you are in arm's reach distance of an ostrich, run for cover.
But they're going to outrun me.
And you need better cover than just a bush, because they're going to go through that bush. A kick from an ostrich's leg can hit you with an impact of almost 500 PSI. That's enough to kill a human.
I didn't know they kicked. How are you supposed to outrun an ostrich?
I don't know what a PSI is, but I don't know. Psst. If you think you can make it, do not attempt to outrun an ostrich. Just don't.
But it just told me that I'm supposed to.
No, you're supposed to hide. You're supposed to seek shelter.
Oh, so like a short sprint for some type of home or crevasse. Or okay.
A box, you know, a piece of stone.
Sure.
Or get in a tree, because even though adult ostriches can reach 7 to 9 feet tall, they cannot reach you if you're taller than that. So seek higher elevation.
Okay, because they can't fly because they're too bottom heavy.
Yeah. And you know what's really terrifying? That although ostriches, they have no even though they have no teeth, it can jab at you with its beak.
God damn it.
Until you die.
Can you imagine an ostrich with teeth, though? Like a full set of like Kate Beckinsale dentures or like veneers.
Like Matthew Perry when he showed up with these bright white veneers to the Friends reunion. It's like, it's really jarring.
And I don't think Kate Beckinsale has veneers, but I have a friend who got veneers modeled after Kate Beckinsale's teeth. So that's what made me think of it. They look great.
Okay. If you do have to dive into a bush, you need to risk your skin and dive into a bush that has thorns.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That's like last resort. If there are no other hiding spots, because ostriches will leave you alone after they poke their head in and they get touched by a thorn, they'll be like, no, fuck, I'm out of here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the dark reboot of Touched by an Angel, but it's just touched by a thorn. And it's just a real angry ostrich backing up slowly.
God, I used to love that show, Touched by an Angel.
I don't know what it was about, because I always get Touched by an Angel and Ghost Whisperer confused.
No. Oh, my God. No. Totally. Oh, what? My brain is scrambled today because I'm on drugs.
I thought you were going to say because I haven't slept, but nope. Straight up drugs.
If you cannot find a place to hide, you need to find a stick that's long, like the ostrich's neck.
Okay.
And then you need to hit them in the neck.
Oh my God.
It's awful. But the neck and the legs is where they are most vulnerable.
So you got to like T-ball them.
Yes, you guys. Oh my God. Their head does look like a little kid's T-ball game.
I mean, I'd hate to do that. I don't want to condone violence, but if it's like between you and them and they're like going to attack your puppy next.
Yeah.
You got to T-ball exactly. That ostrich.
Just remember that ostriches are able to kick you. So you got to stay on the front or the side, but the side is so much better. get their legs or their neck.
Oh God.
I know.
What does it say what provokes them?
Breeding season provokes them. Breeding season.
Oh.
Because the males are tasked with protecting the female's eggs. So. Oh,
okay. All right. Well, if you see an ostrich egg, run the fuck away.
Learn to do anything on the internet. That's today's lesson.
I feel like even though I've been empowered with more information, I'm more afraid of more things than ever before. Because I didn't know those things were possible until I learned that there were ways to solve those problems.
And when any of your friends and family ask you how to do something, just send them that really snarky link to how to, you know, it's like that Google form that fills itself out.
Yeah. And it's like it auto-Googles how to Google or something like that. Yeah.
I've rediscovered my Brush electric toothbrush this weekend. It was better than a sexual awakening. Let me tell you why. I prematurely packed it for my move, and I was using a manual toothbrush for a couple of days. And when I popped my Brush back in my mouth, holy Moses, my teeth were so clean.
Oh, we were on the website before we started this commercial. They have new surrealism-inspired limited edition colors. You know I love any company that is inspired by surrealism. Brush's new colors are this beautiful, like, lavendery mauve color. They have this dream green, which is like a dark forest green. They have a beautiful gray. That's on top of the red and black and red and pink and red that you can get. Their colors are incredible.
I love that dang fire red toothbrush. I need a new one now.
If you don't have a Brush toothbrush yet, here's why you need one. They give you that sonic toothbrush clean without the sonic toothbrush price. And my favorite thing about it, Kathleen, is that they have 6 different modes depending on your teeth and your gums and your mouth.
Yes.
And also, one charge lasts a month at least, so you don't have to keep a bulky charger on your bathroom countertop.
And my teeth feel like I just got back from the dentist every time I use my Brush toothbrush. Gentle listener, that is not an exaggeration. I love this item so much.
So these new colors are only available for a limited time, so get them before they're just a distant dream. I think I might be ordering another toothbrush. I don't need one, but just to get these colors. So get 15% off of your Brush toothbrush kit and refill plan when you use the promo code TASTE at Brush.com.
That's 15% off using the promo code TASTE at Brush.com. Brush.
Okay, Kathleen, so we were talking in segment one about your moving and, you know, you still have like 4 carfuls of stuff at the movers or at your old house.
Yeah.
So I asked you during a break to think of maybe one of the categories of things that you're realizing you have too much of. And that maybe people should hold off on like getting too many of, or does that make sense? Like, what should we have in mind as we look to pare things down?
This is one of those situations where I have to laugh so I don't cry.
Oh no. Oh no.
No, because consumerism is a real thing. Addicted to buying stuff is a real thing. And I didn't think that I was in that bad of a situation until I was forced to pack up everything that I own and move it.
Mm.
I have so many clothes.
Clothes. What percentage do you say you wear?
Okay, after this pandemic, I wear 1% of what I own.
I have the same problem. I've started calling my closet my archives because it sounds pretentious. And I would say 50% of my clothing are ridiculous things that I hope I get to wear someday.
Exactly.
Like capes and things covered in glitter and sequins and like, you know, ball gowns that I've amassed from, you know, like thrift stores and stuff. And it's stupid, but I keep them in my archives.
You need to start wearing them every day. Like, you need to re-embrace the daytime glitter and the daytime sequins and just start wearing them, because we could die tomorrow and never have worn these special things in our closets. And I have so much, because I'm always like, oh, I'm going to fit into that again one day. Mm-hmm. But chances are my body has changed, and that's not a bad thing. I just am never going to fit into that Calvin Klein double A bra from when I was 17 years old.
And it's probably worn out anyway. So even if you would fit into it again, it's probably not a great bra.
I have so many purses. Do you remember? And I don't know if it's just a sign of the times, but remember when it was a thing to have a lot of purses to choose from?
I don't know if I was ever aware that was a thing, but I remember feeling like I needed to have a lot of purses. So yeah, I probably absorbed that idea without realizing it.
Like, I have so many bags that I've never used in all these different colors. And the truth is that I use the same shitty tote bag to put my shit in every single day.
One thing that really brought it to light for me was, remember last year when I got bed bugs?
Yes.
So they said one of the ways to kill bed bugs on things that you can't wash is to put them in a plastic bag and put that bag, like, seal it and then put it out in the sun for like a while so that the bed bugs sort of cook and die. Yeah. So I had all of my bags in a drawer in my, you know, my storage bed. And so I put them all in a plastic bag. I put them out on my fire escape for like 24 hours in the hot, hot sun. And I didn't open that bag for a year because I was so afraid of like the bed bugs that I might reintroduce. Mm-hmm. Only a couple of weeks ago, I opened that bag up and I went through everything and I thought to myself, is this bag worth a bed bug reinfestation?
No.
Yes or no? And the ones that didn't make the cut didn't make the cut.
I don't need anything. I have so many high heels. When am I ever going to wear high heels again?
I know. When are we going to put up with that pain?
I didn't realize how bad me buying stuff had gotten. Like, I have so many books.
Yeah.
I have so many papers. I hoard papers.
Yeah.
I need to take a picture of all of my papers and put them into a digital file and have a totally paperless house.
That's the dream. Because I
know.
I'm with you. I hoard books because they make me feel good. I like having them around.
I know.
But I'm realizing that so much of it has to be done with intention now. And so I'm selling or donating the books that I don't even – like, if I pull it off the shelf and I don't have an immediate emotional reaction to it, I'm donating it or selling it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I want a library that I'm so excited by, and that, like, having those around me makes me so psyched that I get to keep them.
Gentle listeners, I don't know if you ever have to move, but pick a room and go through it so you don't ever find yourself in the depths of despair like I am right now. And I didn't have time to go through all this stuff before we moved. And we only paid the movers to take our big furniture because we were trying to save money. And this aggravation is unreal.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you just sort of packing everything up willy-nilly now and throwing it in the new apartment? Or are you just throwing stuff away?
I'm just putting stuff in bags and taking it over to the new apartment so I can go through it here. Mm-hmm. Lounge clothes. I hoard lounge clothes. Old leggings.
Yeah. Who doesn't? I mean,
old sweatshirts.
I have an issue with that too. Just if it's comfortable and it makes you feel like you're getting a hug.
Yeah, I know.
It's the best.
Oh, Bethany, this is getting depressing. Let's talk about something happier.
Okay. Yeah. Is there anything happier, or do you want me to come up with something?
Okay, this is happier.
Okay.
I'm going to click my emotional knob and turn to my Energizer setting. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Hey, Bethany, did you know that the next big haircut trend is called the wolf cut?
Oh, no. What's that? Please tell me it's not like a mullet.
So the wolf cut has over 108 million views on TikTok. It's up on Pinterest by 75%. And it's a combination of a shag and a mullet.
I knew it had a mullet involved. The wolf cut. Let me see. By the way, I am so sorry about all of the noise outside. There's something going on, like, crime-wise outside my apartment. There's not much I can do. It's actually really cute.
It is. It kind of reminds me of the haircut that you've been giving yourself over the course of the pandemic.
A little bit. Yeah, it's like shorter layers. I know it's what Billie Eilish did when she turned blonde.
Oh.
She got kind of like that. Yeah, it's like a shag. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's cute. It looks effortless, which means that there's a lot of effort involved.
Lots and lots of effort. The more disheveled you look, the more effort it took into looking that disheveled and glamorous.
100%. I think I've told this before, but someone once asked me, my hair was just really kind of shaggy and wavy, curly. And someone said, how did you get your hair to look like that? And the process was thus. Shower, fall asleep, wake up with dry hair, live my day, fall asleep. The next day, put in dry shampoo, get caught in the rain without an umbrella, let it dry, fall asleep, wake up the next day, put in dry shampoo. That's how it looked that way. It involved a rainstorm.
So it's like it's like a 3-day process.
Yeah, with like like acts of God thrown in there that you can't plan.
Speaking of umbrellas, do you know what I found in my closet that I didn't even remember ever purchasing?
What?
A replica of the umbrella that Mary Poppins uses in the movie.
I was just talking about that. Was I not just talking about that? How'd you get it? Where can I get one?
I don't know. I think I bought it for a Halloween costume a few years ago, and I ended up not even dressing up for Halloween that year. And it was in the back of my closet. I think we were talking about it on our live show on Patreon, and I didn't even remember having it. When you don't remember having it, that is when you know you have a problem.
Yep. I have, I have a box of hats in my closet.
Yep.
I could not tell you what hat is in there because I thought all of my hats were sitting out, but they're not. Half of them are in a box.
Exactly.
This is Kevin, I'm not glad you're going through this, but it's a good reminder that, you know, we need to really pare things down and really shop with intention more and more.
I don't know why I keep buying this stuff. I think the act of buying makes me feel good.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's a little serotonin boost. And, you know, we all need it right now. I think a lot of people shop their way through the pandemic. And that's okay. Man. We have to learn our lesson. And that's okay, too.
It's well, so
Kathleen,
silly.
Besides that, what did you learn this week? Or is that your what you learned this week? Because that's a pretty good lesson.
I know I do have what I learned this week. I learned that if you paint a room, it's probably pretty important that you find a paint that has zero VOCs.
I don't know what a VOC is.
It's like the gas that the paint gives off.
Oh, okay.
Because I used a paint in my bedroom that doesn't have zero VOCs, and it takes up to a month for paint to get rid of the gas and officially cure. And so now I feel like Neil and I are just sleeping in a room full of noxious gases.
Oh, God. Volatile organic compounds.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. It's called paint outgassing. Because on my wallpaper, which I was psyched to put up right away, it says if you've just painted that wall, you have to wait 30 days to let all of the gases release before you can put this wallpaper up.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Yikes. Okay, well, that's good to know.
So I am the biggest Debbie Downer today ever. Bethany, please tell me that what you learned this week is something freaking happy.
Well, I don't know if it's happy, but it's I certainly was interested to learn it.
Okay.
Maybe our not American listeners already know this, but did you know that pub? Do you know what pub is short for?
No.
It stands for public house. Did you know that?
What? No.
I was watching a true crime thing on YouTube, and the guy who does it is based in London, I think. And he was talking about how the last place this person was seen was in a public house. And then the rest of the time he referred to it as a pub. And I was like, wait a minute, is that what pub stands for? And yes, it is.
My American brain thinks public house is a place where you go to have sex in saunas.
It's like an old term for places where people could gather, and then sort of became known as places people could gather that had alcohol. And
amazing.
They're just pubs. They're pubs.
That is a great random fact to pull out on a first date.
It was fun. I feel like that's the kind of thing that everyone knows except us. So if you think I'm an idiot right now, hello, I am an idiot. Kathleen, nice to meet where you. Can people find you on social media?
At WhipGirlKathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I am Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. You can also find our show on social media.
We are Acquired Podcast on Twitter.
We are Acquired Taste Podcast on Instagram.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group. There is a Taste Bud meetup being planned for the Poconos in Pennsylvania in late June, so you can get the information for that there.
Very fun. You can also email us, acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
If you would like to send us snail mail, we have a P.O. Box, and that's Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
We also have a phone number. We play your voicemails at the end of almost every single episode, and we love hearing from you. Give us a call, 917-994-0353.
And wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. Helps us move up in the ranks.
Our most recent Patreon video was really fun. The last 5 minutes went straight to hell. It was so funny. If you're not a patron, you can go to patreon.com/acquiredtaste. If you join at the $2 level, that's a tip. Just for all of the free content that we've been giving you. If it's the $5 level, you get twice monthly live video shows. Plus, you get access to the back catalogs of everything we've been doing. And those are really fun. And we do them, twice a month.
This podcast is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can follow her on Instagram @lit_fuck or on Twitter @Chargar. And this weekend is Charlotte's baby shower because she's having her first baby girl. And we are. I'm so excited for Charlotte. I love getting updates of her baby bumps because it's just, I don't know, it's something that I'm weirdly addicted to.
So congratulations, Charlotte. And I call him Vanya, but Ivan, congratulations to both of you. We're very excited. And all of our videos that you see on social are edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him @DennisCahlo on social media.
All right, Bethany, do your thing.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Kathleen, it's Taste Bud JC from Poughkeepsie. I'm standing in CVS right now looking at these Stealth and Blue options from your recommendation. And there's so many options. I don't know which one to pick. And I'm freaking out right now. There's like 7 different options. So I'm just going to go with God and go with the one that just looks like it says medicated. But if you could give some guidance maybe on the next thing or hit me back with a text. Love you ladies. Listen all the time. And hopefully talk to you guys soon. Thanks. Bye.
Hello, my name is Kelly. I just want to tell you a funny story that happened to me yesterday. So I'm a brand new teacher in the South Carolina, and of course it's getting hotter. It's about 95 degrees now, and I found out that when it gets hot, some of the critters like to find a place that's cool. So I open the door into my classroom, and I find a little snake curled up on the middle of my rug. I screamed bloody murder, to a point where the classroom right next door heard me. The other teacher came out to see what was wrong. We found the snake. We tried to capture it. Was able to let it loose outside. And the teacher looked at me and she's like, welcome to the South. And I'm like, yay. So I wanted to share that funny story. I'm going to have to get used to seeing more critters in my classroom. I'm okay with it as long as it's not poisonous. All right. Have a great day. Bye.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Jesse. I'm just calling because a few podcasts ago, or it might have been a bunch, I can never remember, Kathleen mentioned the documentary Class Action Park, and I had to call because I'm here right now because today is my wedding day, and I'm so excited. Obviously, it's not called Action Park anymore, and it's run much better, but I just thought it was so funny. You guys mentioned it the other day. We watched the documentary, too, and it was sad in ways, but also so funny. I love you guys so much. I hope you guys have a great day. Bye.
Hey, it's Taste Bud Nina. I'm just listening to the episode with the sexy fan fiction, and I can't agree with Kathleen anymore because I do own a Dyson fan, and I did spend a lot of money on it, but I did use my Bed Bath & Beyond coupon, and I will not pay more for clothing than anything in Old Navy. I'm with you 100%. Bye.
Hi, Taste Bud Land and Bethany and Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Tia from North Idaho. I'm just driving to work. I thought I'd call and tell you about my dream that I had last night. I was walking around a bookstore, and all of a sudden I ran into you, Bethany and Kathleen, and all we did was make eye contact. I curtsied to you, and we just kept moving about our day. It was really funny. No words exchanged, just, it was like that look, like, I know you. And then my husband, as I continued to walk around the bookstore, my husband's like obviously laying next to me in bed, and his breathing, like, I don't know what was going on, but he started like whistling, and then the whistle kind of incorporated into the dream. And then my dream made the whistling sound into bombs. So then bombs started to get dropped on the bookstore. So, and then I woke up and then I just couldn't go back to sleep because I was really annoyed because he messed up my dream. That's all I really have. Anyway, I love everybody. Hope you guys have a wonderful week. Bye.